Hi guys, welcome back to Not By Sight. In honor of Mother's Day, my next guest is a woman I truly admire. Her name is Grace Knowlton, and she is amazing. What I love about her, she's super creative and actually a legit artist. If you're familiar with art schools, she's a graduate of RISD. As a boy mom, she can turn a cardboard box into nearly anything. Let's just say she has those crafting skills down. But she's so humble about it and makes it look effortless. When you enter her home, it's warm, inviting, and there's this peace that you feel. You kind of don't want to leave when you're there. And I think that peacefulness is due to how Grace and her husband John are raising their three sons, one of them who has special needs, with a deep-rooted spiritual faith and otherworldly perspective on what life is really all about. On today's episode, we'll find out how a healing service led to the protection of their son Jeremiah and how it changed this entire family's perspective on who God is. Currently, the Knowlton family is sheltering in place just outside of New York City in New Jersey, which is where I met Grace for the first time 4.5 years ago when I was undergoing cancer treatment. She and a group of other moms from a local church brought our family meals during that time, and our family still talks about her fabulous beef stew. Grace, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so please fill me in. How has it been going with the whole shelter in place with three little boys?
It's good. So far, we have my boys are 5, 7, and 11, and they just have such various needs for homeschooling. And we have some really, we have some teachers that are very gung-ho and other teachers that are more laid back. So we have a lot of, my kids have more Zoom meetings than I do. But I actually love being home with them. And I think they're still the age that they like to snuggle and they like to play go fish with me. And so it still feels like they're not missing a lot right now.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Well, you know, Isaac is 6 and I have felt that same way of like, you know, he's in kindergarten. Like even if he's not in school, he kind of should be home with mom, you know?
Right.
And I also have always felt like kindergarten should be half a day. Like back in the day when we were in school, at least for me, I was in kindergarten like half a day, not a full day.
Right, exactly.
So they do things so differently. And I remember actually earlier this year, I was like, oh, I wish Isaac was not in school all day. I wish I could spend more time with him. And then with this whole shelter
you got your
place
wish.
Happened,
I know. Thanks a lot, Deb.
Like, I know, girl. I know. But then part of me was like, yeah, I'm like, I'm so glad he's home with me. And it's kind of like, I kind of go back and forth, I'll admit. But I am so thankful. So, so thankful.
Yeah.
Because they're only little, you know, this like, for such a short amount of time.
Right. Well, and also I have a big yard that I push them out into. So
yes,
we do a lot of outside. I'm so thankful that it's in the spring. So it's been good.
What has been, since, you know, I mentioned your creative side and the talents and skills you have with a cardboard box, what can you brag on about yourself, about what you did either A, with a cardboard box or with something else craft-wise?
Oh boy. I mean, cardboard specifically, we have a rocket ship going, but I was only the taper. My my 7-year-old has really taken on the gift, I think. He's the next one in the family, probably.
Well, I can definitely say you guys are way more craftier and artistic in your home. We have not broken out any like cardboard materials or anything like that. We're still doing a lot of coloring. We are doing paintings, but you know, we're all facing like different challenges, obviously. Especially you having multiple children, you know, in one home. And then you throw in, you know, you've got kids that have different interests and different capabilities. And just thinking about why I invited you on this show, I invited you because I really wanted to hear your perspective as a mom with a child with special needs. Tell us about Jeremiah.
So my oldest son, Jeremiah, is really joyful and sweet. His favorite place, especially right now in the spring, is this giant tree swing we have in our backyard. And he gives the best hugs. He was born with an unknown genetic condition, and it has a wide range of symptoms that makes normal life really difficult. He's going to be 12 in the summer, but he still prefers preschool shows, and he's still in diapers. He needs help walking and dressing and eating. We have to cut things up really small for him, and he's nonverbal and he uses an iPad app to talk, which he's pretty fast at, which is good. So he's had a lot of surgeries and medical interventions. He had a cleft lip and palate at birth, and he has developmental delay, scoliosis, and seizures, and he has foot braces, and most recently he has a palate expander for his mouth.
That's a lot. That's a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah. So I know it's a big list. It's a hard list to hear, and thankfully it wasn't all at once. But I think, and I hope this interview shows that even though the enemy had plans to harm him and us, God has turned them for good. And I heard an explanation of that verse that I love as a crafty person, that that Joseph's brothers wove evil into his life, but God rewove it for good and for his glory.
That's amazing. So can you tell me about a specific time in Jeremiah's story where you specifically really felt like you had to walk by faith, not by sight?
Yes. I feel like we've had a lot of those moments, but I feel like a great example with a very tangible timeline is in the middle of 2013, we had just packed up our life in DC. My husband quit his job and started his own company in New Jersey, and we moved in with his parents, and we had just had our second baby, Benji. So I feel like I get a lot of faith points just for all that. But it was actually a really great time. But then at the start of 2014, we had to look for all new specialists for Jeremiah's conditions that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And at one of the checkups, they realized that his spine had suddenly started to curve very severely, which is called scoliosis. And so it was starting to limit like movement and his organ function, and it was really bad. And I mean, we were in Manhattan. We were like seeing the best of the best, but it was still very limited options. At the time, they said, you know, external bracing would be way too little too late, and they suggested doing surgically implanting two metal rods that would need follow-up adjustment surgeries every 6 to 9 months for like
all of his
growing years. But they're kind of the standard. They're called Vector rods. And in his case, they were estimating it'd be 20 extra surgeries. Mm. And we have a very researchy family. So we had heard about another type of rod that they did in Europe, that it's the same procedure to put it in, but it eliminates the follow-up surgeries because the adjustments are done magnetically.
Wow.
But the problem was the magnetic rods weren't FDA approved and in that time. In the U.S., and they said it would be at least another year. And Jeremiah's curve was so severe, he definitely couldn't wait that long.
Wow.
And then my father-in-law remembered a minister who healed backs, is how he explained it. So praying for healing was always on my radar as a Christian growing up, but it was also pretty mysterious because sometimes I saw healing and mostly I didn't, which I think is pretty common.
Yeah.
But it seemed like, okay, if there's ever a time to pursue it, it is now. But we went to this pastor's healing seminar a week before the Vector surgery was scheduled. He taught on Christ-centered healing, and he went through the Gospels, and he basically broke down the miracles and the motives and exposed the doubts that people often have that can keep them from healing. And it's really common things we say, like, well, if it's God's will, or like, maybe this disease is teaching me something. And, you know, we certainly learn things out of hard times, but it's not the way that we're taught by God anyway. So the biggest takeaway for me was this deep understanding in my heart and core that healing and wholeness and redemption really, really was always God's will for people. And like in Psalm 103, it says, the Lord forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. So the conference ends, and I'm sitting with Jeremiah in the back of this beige rental car, because we had actually flown down to Georgia for this thing. It wasn't local. And, you know, all of his physical circumstances were pretty much unchanged. And we're still hoping for a gradual healing, or like we would have taken any noticeable difference at this point. And the elephant in the room was that, you know, we didn't see the healing we had hoped for that weekend, but we were still sitting in this car and everyone was still really peaceful and, you know, feeling okay. And when I look back, I think what would have been actually the most terribly sad and like the worst thing ever is if we had really believed God gave this to him. And if you read the Gospels, Jesus always does the will of the Father, and Jesus always has the will to heal people. And he doesn't just heal a few blind guys here and there. He heals multitudes of right. various weird things. And
right.
the only time he couldn't heal them was when they had the unbelief. Mm. And I can't tell you how many well-meaning people have said things like, oh, well, I mean, I'm sure you've heard this too. God never gives you more than you can handle, or
right, right.
God really must have known, you know, what a great mother you'd be to have a child like that. And it's just such an awful thing to say about my child right. and really right. about God. But after this conference, it was a week before surgery, and I was still peaceful and happy because I finally knew in my core that it is really God's will to heal people.
Right.
And I don't know why it doesn't always happen, but at least the sneaky lie about like, well, did God give this to your son as some, I don't know, cosmic compliment to your mothering? It's like that lie was gone, and right. I knew his character, and my perspective had changed. Wow. And that was huge, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So how did that help you going into, you know, going back to New York and having to face these, you know, doctors with Jeremiah's back?
Yeah. So we get back to New Jersey, and the surgery was scheduled for Friday. But on Monday morning, after a lot of prayer, both John and I separately came to this phrase, don't have surgery on Friday. And it was so weird because we hadn't seen the curve change, but we had been so excited having seen other healing miracles that weekend. So we just went with it. And it was a huge step of faith to call the hospital on Monday morning and just cancel the surgery, not fully knowing what God was doing. So then Friday comes and goes, and we're still like, okay, we listen, but like, what's happening? What's happening, God? And so we were taking a walk in the park as a family, and John gets a phone call from the actual surgeon, not the office staff. Mm-hmm. And the surgeon's on the phone, and he says, you're never going to believe this. But the FDA just cleared the magnetic back rods a year ahead of schedule, and would Jeremiah like to be the first one to get them? So to us, it seemed like this huge victory. And on one hand, it obviously wasn't, you know, the backflips out of a wheelchair that we wanted. But for us, you know, we had that faith to listen to God in, you know, don't have surgery on Friday. And I just think, wow, we still know that we saved him from at least maybe 20 surgeries, the lengthening surgeries, and only by like a week. You know, how horrible would we have felt if we had gotten the surgery on Friday and then we hear in the whatever scoliosis news, like the magnet ones are available now.
Oh my gosh. That is mind blowing but it only speaks to how God spoke to you and John. I mean, it's just amazing that you and John both were on the same page with that as well.
Right, right.
You know, in your everyday life in general, you know, as a mom, where do you draw your strength from? And how does God meet you and speak to you when you're, you know, dealing with valley type experiences?
On a personal level, I think it was the first time that I really understood scripture as food, like as needed and as filling. And I think different, you know, different chapters of your life, you need different inspiration for. So I think there was a lot of, you know, I had a lot of different people in my life. I think on a practical level, God brought excellent people into my life. My parents and John's parents were and still are so encouraging. Even when I was 7 months pregnant and Jeremiah had suddenly stopped growing, my mother-in-law and sister-in-law prayed with me every morning for the last 6 weeks of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And when he was about 1.5, I just like in desperation, I think I was like ready for friends. Cause again, he had been in so many surgeries and stuff. We just kind of stayed in and didn't do much. And when I was ready for friends, I asked God for friends. And the next day, a person that hardly knew me just randomly emailed me and told me about a mom's group. And that really helped me sort out the special needs mothering issues from typical mothering issues. The other thing I liked about being in a mom's group is that I could serve other people too and not get trapped in my own pity party, you know, for my family or for what we were going through. It's why I brought you stew, Deb.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and I think that's why, you know, when I had originally asked you to be on this podcast and I was telling you on the phone just that, you know, when I first met you, you brought me stew. I just thought, oh, just this like, oh, she probably has this great little, easy little picture perfect cookie cutter life. Mm-hmm. You know, she's making her stew at home with her, you know, her little crafts in her little craftsman home or something. And then I was like, I came to your house and I was like, you know, she's got a lot going on in this house. And yep. I still feel so much peace in this home. Hmm. And I am seeing how not only did you want to serve my family, but I was like, here I was like, wow, she has her own family and she has a lot to deal with here at her house. Now, mm-hmm. I know that you don't look at it like that, mm-hmm. but from the outside looking in and just as somebody who observes it, it's just, yeah. I see your servant heart. And the fact that you're also, because I'll be honest, like you would have every, in my mind, you would have every right to just be like, you know what, I'm just going to take care of my family. And we kind of have our own stuff going on. Yeah. And I have needs within my own home that right. I don't have the capacity or, you know, to serve outside of my house. But the fact yeah. that you actually do see that as important, I think that also speaks to your faith. And that's something I wanted to ask you about too, is like, tell me why it's important for you to serve others.
I think it's important that we don't get sucked into just our own circumstances and how bad our own stuff is, because that's easy to do. And like you said, people have commented on like, wow, I'm surprised you do other stuff. And I'm like, I need to do other stuff. I need my kids to see me do other stuff. And I need to have the character of Jesus and to be giving and serving. And that does good things for my heart, too.
Where have you seen God's redemption in your story? And how have you seen God bring good out of like bad, difficult stuff?
Yes. Well, something we can all relate to in any extreme situation, I think it wakes you up to your priorities and you fight harder for the most important things and small things are not as distracting. I think of that scene in the movie Apollo 13. And something catastrophic happened and they couldn't land on the moon like they were planning and they just mm-hmm. needed to get home. And the astronauts had to go around and they had to go around the command thing and just flip off all the basic systems just to conserve energy. And that is my parenting style sometimes. Like we just have to, like I said, sometimes we have to quarantine when no one else is quarantining just to make sure that the priorities are being met, that we're, you know, spending time together as a family, that my own heart is peaceful and settled. And I'm okay with missing out on stuff if it means that, you know, we have good peace at home. I think the other thing that we've seen redemption is I really, you know, since we went to that healing seminar, I really transformed a lot of my understanding on God's character. And my perspective changed. And I have seen miraculous healing in other areas. And so I'm so glad we didn't give up.
How have you been able to use your journey to help others?
The silver lining when you've been through or are going through, you know, what people consider to be life's worst circumstances, I think you have this profound understanding of how kind it is to help someone out of it if you can. And it looks different for everybody. And But I think there's always something you can do for someone. I know people have looked at me and actually told me to my face, they said, I couldn't do what you do. And I said, I think you mean you don't want to do what I do. Because I know that if you had to, you could. Maybe not with joy, but you would do that for your kid. But I think I'm just so thankful that we have three great kids, we have a happy marriage, and I know that that would not have happened if I didn't have a bigger hope or a bigger understanding of what the purpose of life really is.
Well, and even thinking just how you just mentioned how you have a good marriage, like how did you and John like, you know, it obviously, I mean, everything, it seems like has kind of brought you guys closer together instead of, because I feel like either when people go through hard stuff, especially with marriage in the picture. It's like either people are driven closer together or I think they're driven further apart.
Right. I agree.
What is kind of like the glue do you think that kind of has kept you guys from being another like statistic of like, we just didn't make it, you know?
Right. I think we do a good job encouraging each other at different points because I think when, you know, when one of us is feeling like this is just the worst day or this is so hard, then we can pick each other up. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing it just of our own, you know, encouraging Pinterest quotes or something. Like we're going to God about it and he is refreshing us. And I wouldn't be enough to do that to John and he wouldn't be enough to do that to me.
You need a source of power.
Yeah, totally.
To get through it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we can't muster up the power in ourselves, you know?
Right.
It makes sense. And I've experienced that in my marriage too. It does seem like it's cool how that happens when you're struggling, but luckily you caught your husband on a better day. So he gives you some encouragement and then he's struggling and you're like, well, honey, let me share some encouragement with you. Because you just gave me or whatever.
Yeah, or sometimes you're both sad together and that happens too. But I think it's a, I think it's that's okay too.
What advice would you give to someone who finds themselves in like a valley time or valley period?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I mean, that's open-ended. I think my general advice for hard times is to surround yourself with uplifting people. And for me personally, I would say read Psalm 34 or Psalm 103. I think of Psalm 34, I think like every other verse is referring to some valley. And really, there's so many times, like I said, there were so many times we got a new diagnosis that just came out of left field, like the scoliosis, and we just cried out to God. And if you don't think you like God, I can understand not liking certain Christians. But if you don't like God, I just wonder, you know, I feel like you might be dealing with the wrong information about him. I just think he's so for repentance and redemption and reconciliation and love. And I think that's all the things you need in a valley.
Mm, I agree. Definitely. I love everything that you just said there. How do you feel like things would have looked differently if you didn't know God? Like walking through your journey without your faith?
Oh man, I would have been completely angry all the time.
Yeah.
I imagine I would be full of anger at God and the world. I'd be consumed with fear for my child. I'd probably be divorced and I definitely would not have had any more children. And I think I would have been hopeless.
Yeah, I'm always blown away at how people can go through just hard stuff and not have the hope of Christ. Like, I just feel like without him, without his presence, without his promises, without his word, like I feel like it's just emptiness.
Oh yeah, no hope. My faith in God and my understanding from the Bible in my childhood years, that faith has really taken what would have been for me anger and fear and turned it into joy and peace. And I think that's what people are reacting to when they look at our situation and say things like, why are you normal? And like, how are you okay with all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we'll see Jeremiah's full healing, you know, in this life. And of course I want that and I'm sure he wants that, but it's not a condition of my love for God. Three of his symptoms, being lame and mute and having seizures are specifically really healed in the Bible. And so those, I think for us are easier to have faith for, but all the other random stuff isn't. But it's still a non-issue to me. And honestly, just to know that none of the symptoms were from God is really good enough for today. And to know that God has redeemed us for much bigger things, is really more the important thing.
Is there anything else you'd like to share that we haven't talked about?
One thing I was thinking about just the other day, we were watching a cartoon about Jesus being born. And it really, I almost laughed because I thought, man, Mary really, we don't talk about this enough, but she really gave birth in a stable, like with animals there. And I think if I were her, I would have thought, God, this is very, you know, this is a big deal. You couldn't have at least, you know, gotten me a room at the inn or whatever, like one little bed. And I think so often we forget that the things that seem important to us are not always important to God. But I feel like when we align our most important things with what God considers the most important things, I think we are far better off. And I think that's one way that myself and my family and my marriage has joy that cannot be taken, because we're not basing it on the world standard of this is how life should be and this is what happiness equals and all those things.
What wisdom. May we all be challenged to have a similar perspective on our lives. I really hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Please be sure to subscribe to Not By Sight and share this podcast with others. Also, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me at notbysightpodcast@gmail.com and check out our Facebook group page called Not By Sight Podcast. You guys take care.